Imagine trusting somebody with your entire life, feeding, communicating, even toileting. And then that person ghosts you, leaves, ditches you. That happened to me and my family this weekend. It's been a big emotional topic in our house. We're going to talk about it today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. What's up, Isaac?
What's up, Evan? You ready to get it personal today?
I am, man. I'm ready. And Mike Gesser. Mike, how are you?
Good, Evan. How are you?
I'm doing great. As I mentioned at the very top of the show, it's been an emotional time in my house, man. You know, when you have a caretaker, and in this case, I'm defining caretaker as somebody who's compensated or paid to take care of a person with a disability. In this case, my daughter, who's 10 years old, or she's about to be 10 years old. She has severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal. She can't walk, but she's very smart. She's very engaged. She's very social. She's very aware of what's going on. She's not, you know, she's very involved. If you see her social media page, if you know her even for 2 minutes, you understand, like, there is a vibrant, amazing person there. And she's a huge part of my life. I love her so much. She's one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. And I care about her so much, which is why this topic today is so emotional for me. You can already tell with the babbling a little bit at the top, like, I'm already getting emotional talking about this. But the reason I want to talk about this today is because I think it's an important thing to talk about. And I want to start by just saying thank you to caretakers. I appreciate you. And I don't want this to come off like I am trashing care. I am so grateful. And the people who have been involved in our life and Sydney's life, you're amazing people, and I'm so grateful. But the reason that we're doing the show today is because sometimes there is room for improvement. There's room to do better. And we want to focus on that today. And I want to tell you what it's been like from our perspective. And we're going to talk about ways in which maybe we could do better, which ways the caretaker could have done better. And ultimately, the goal is to, you know, be productive and constructive today.
Evan, I can totally relate. I've experienced similar things. Do you mind telling us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah. So my daughter, there was a caretaker that my daughter has been working with for a long time who resigned. Before she resigned, she called in sick for a week. And then the following week, we were told that she left her job. And that was it. There was
abrupt.
It was abrupt. There was no real goodbye. There was no opportunity for Sydney to understand what was going on, because this person just kind of left. And, you know, as the kids say, in Sydney's case, it felt like she was ghosted, right? You're seeing this person almost every single day. You develop this incredible bond with this person. This person is involved in helping her communicate and helping her eat and helping her go to the restroom, all these things. And these things, by the way, are not small things, because when you're dealing with a person who can't do these things themselves, you don't want just somebody who just shoves a spoon in your mouth. You know, when you feed my daughter, you know, she likes her food placed a particular way so she can chew better, so it's easier for her to eat. When she is talking, you know, she likes to, you know, do things in a particular way. And when it comes to the restroom, as anybody knows, like, first off, going to the restroom and having somebody else helping you in itself it's a little uncomfortable, and it's probably a little embarrassing. And you create this bond with somebody, you get to know them and understand them and trust them, and it becomes less embarrassing over time, and it just becomes normal.
Now, Evan, can you explain to the audience, maybe who not are familiar with caretaker, a paid caretaker, is this something you do during school? What are the hours? You know, is it a full time? They're staying at the house during the night? Talk to us.
I mean,
a little about that.
We have a million caretakers. I mean, there are a bunch of people who help us care for Sydney. We have somebody who works in our house. We have some people. There are people at school. We hand her off at school. People there. There are, you know, all sorts of people in all different facilities of Sydney's life that help care for her. But the way that I'm defining it for the purpose of this show, and again, I don't want to embarrass anybody specifically, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm talking in generalities here about a specific thing that happened to us. But, you know, this person, I want, if you're watching this, I want you to know I'm grateful for you and grateful for the time that you spent working with our family and my daughter. I just wish things went a little bit differently at the end. So that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Evan, I have a question. I think most importantly, how is Sydney today? Like, how is she doing with this situation? Yeah.
So to be honest with you, she's having a tough time with it. She's usually she doesn't lash out. But since this person left, she's been lashing out. And one of the things she does is she hits sometimes when she's uncomfortable. She tries to communicate with her communication device. And when that doesn't work, sometimes she resorts to smacking. And that will happen sometimes. And that's been happening since this person left. And Sydney and I had a long conversation last night, as a matter of fact. And she's confused and she's upset. And this is the way that she's kind of processing it. I'm trying to explain to her what happened. But remember, she's also 10 years old. And a 10-year-old doesn't really understand the way the world works yet.
But so, enough. You know, she understands enough to feel the abandonment.
Yeah, she misses this person. Yeah. And I feel like she wishes there was some closure. But again, this person left, and this person left because they found a job that pays more. And that's, again, I completely understand that. That makes sense to me. You're getting paid a certain amount, and there's somebody who's willing to pay you more money to do a similar job. Like, I get it. And I support that. Go get your money, 100%. And I hope that job is great, and I hope you have a great career. But my issue is that Sydney, I will get to my feelings about it, but Sydney trusted this person to over time to develop this bond. And it ended up feeling the way that this person left. It ended up feeling like, to me, that Sydney was treated like a gig, a job, and not a person. And I'm sure that wasn't the intention, and I'm sure that's not what this person set out to do, but that's the way it came off to my daughter, and that's why my daughter is sad. And the point of the show, I think, is to explain to people that people who require caretakers, if you're going to become a caretaker and you're going to do that noble, amazing job of helping somebody live their life in a respectable, noble way, dignified way, you have to understand that when you leave that job, you have to treat the person with respect when they leave so that they understand what's going on too. And I'm sure Sydney would be super happy for you and all that stuff. But right now, Sydney feels a sense of abandonment and she's upset and she doesn't really understand what's going on and why. And for me as her father, I'm dealing with a lot of emotions about that, because you don't want to see your daughter upset and sad and hurt. And then also, when you think about the things like she has to learn how to, you know, new people have to come in and learn how to care for her in the right way. And when you are learning to care for somebody, you understand that there are nuances that make everything, right? Like I was saying, you could spoon feed somebody, fine, but the way that Sydney prefers to eat is something that you learn over time, how to feed her the right way. You can dress somebody, you can help them communicate, but like when, you know, you get to learn the person, understand the person, you are more effective as a caretaker because you are helping this person get the messaging across and communicate and live their life in a better, more comfortable way. And especially the restroom, like I was saying, like there are people who now have to be trained to take Sydney to the restroom. And for Sydney, that's a lot for a 10-year-old kid to try to process. Like, there are now new people that she hasn't really worked with that have to learn how to clean her and all that stuff. And for Sydney, that's, it's personal.
You know what I find interesting about the situation? I think there's two main parts here. And it's interesting because you typically don't think about this for a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 8-year-old. You have to essentially prepare your child for abandonment or separation, because there's a point, there's the right way to do it, and there's the wrong way for someone to change jobs, right? But the reality is at some point there's going to be the next grade or the next school. So there's going to be that.
That's
how
right.
do you prepare your child for that type of a situation, number one. And then the other part is, I think anybody that gets into this field is a good person. Nobody says, I want to go and take care of children that are disabled and teach them speech therapists, all those kinds of things. But to your point, not everybody's perfect. And I think there's also some training or a right way to handle this type of a situation because it is, I'd even go as far as saying the word trauma, right? Like you have somebody that's so dependent and then it's just not there anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, 100%. And I think when you are switching schools, you know that's coming down the road. So you can talk to your child and let them know and start conditioning them and introduce them to the new crew. Like when my daughter goes into a new grade, we're very lucky to be in an amazing school where the teachers, every year we've been there, when they know that they're going to get Sydney the next year, they observe Sydney in class. They get to know her. They reach out to us. We have a great relationship with them. And we start talking to Sydney about them too. So she's prepared. So when you know something's coming, it makes the transition much easier. In this case, when you don't know it's coming,
right?
That's the issue. Part. That's the issue right here. And that's what I'm dealing with. So I think of myself as a writer, I guess, and I was dealing with all these emotions. And so I decided in this particular case, instead of punching a wall or doing something dumb, I wrote out my feelings in a letter. And if that's okay, I'd like to share some of it with you guys.
Please share it.
All right. So I wrote the letter. It's titled Dear Caretakers, my disabled daughter is not a gig. Imagine trusting somebody with your life, your whole life, feeding, communicating, toileting, everything. All of these very important things that most people take for granted are now in the hands of a brand new person. That's the life of a severely disabled person. You have no choice. You cross your fingers and pray to whatever God you believe in that the person assigned to caring for you is good at their job, takes their sacred responsibility seriously, and will treat you with the respect and dignity you deserve. When you find a person who checks all those boxes, it's not just special, it's a miracle. So imagine your daughter has a caretaker assigned to her and they bond so well, she trusts the caretaker with every part of her daily routine, even the bathroom parts that would be embarrassing to any 9-year-old, like being positioned on a toilet or cleaning after you go. And then imagine that person just ghosts you one day and never shows up to work again. That's what happened to us, mainly to Sydney, but also to us. The backup people who are now working with Sydney have not been properly trained on toileting Sydney, how to feed her the way she likes, et cetera, et cetera. It's not their fault. They'll learn and they'll be great. I believe that sincerely. But to the person who left, the feeling that I have is how could you abandon Sydney like that? Sydney depends on you. She's not just a job. She's a person with feelings and emotions and a heart. She counted on you to help her get through the day. She depended on you to be able to use a toilet like a human being instead of having to go on herself at school in her diaper. And you left her hanging. We thought you cared about her. We thought you cared about us. That person left the job because she found another opportunity in another school, which paid her more money. And I get that. Get paid, get money. I support it. But to stop showing up to Sydney, to just leave her like that, like she was some typical responsibility at a typical gig that someone else could just pick up and handle. In my opinion, that's wrong. It breaks my heart. It crushes my heart. I've been hurting about this all day. It's painful. Sydney's the most amazing person in the world. She's overcome death so many times. She's survived medical emergencies that kill most people. She can't talk. She can't walk. She can't feed herself, yet she still thrives. She's full of hope and love and happiness. She's a beacon of light in a world that can sometimes feel sad and heavy. She doesn't deserve to be abandoned, especially by someone she trusted so deeply. I'm happy for your new job. I hope you find what you're looking for. But to anyone else thinking about working as a caretaker to a person with a disability, think twice before you make the commitment, because my daughter isn't a gig. She's a human being. And in this case, she deserves better. And that's my letter. I wrote that out. Those were my feelings.
Powerful.
Powerful. Nice job, Evan.
Thank you.
I want to think about the other side too, just because like the show's about purpose driven. I would think anybody that's going into caring for anyone with a disability that just have heart and passion. So what do you think we could do to help people to understand the human side of this? Because again, for me, like you have to have purpose. Like, you know, you're going to have a jobs like people maybe weren't taught the right way to do things or how to communicate and customer service. So what do we want to try to accomplish with the caregiver and the paid caregiver community today and tell them what they should be looking for when they're taking this job on?
So my number one message to caregivers, and again, I mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it again. Like if there's a job, but there's an opportunity for you to make your life better, to have a better life, like I'm not saying don't take it. I'm saying explore it and take it if that's the right thing for you. And I support that 100%. What I'm saying is when you leave a job that involves caring for a person so intimately, so closely, that that person deserves the respect of a proper explanation. And in my opinion, this is just my opinion, that they deserve at least a couple of days. You know, in theory, 2 weeks would be great, but at least a couple of days so that you can help the next group of people that are going to be caring for her to understand her and to try to train them up as much as you can. If it's a day, if it's one day, great. If it's 0 days, I understand that too, but then I expect that person to at least reach out and try to, you know, have a conversation with Sydney so that Sydney understands. That's what I would like in a perfect world. So that's my main message. And I'm not even mad at you right now. I'm processing it and I've gotten over it and it's fine and I get it. I'm just sad for Sydney and I wish that Sydney had the opportunity to have that conversation.
So I think that's part of the care protocol, right? Like granted, there's all this work that needs to be done as far as feeding, clothing, like to school and things like that. But I feel like to your point, like there is like the separation needs to be part of the care too, because by doing it in not the right way, it's devastating for the person. It's not care. It's the opposite of care. So there's more, it's more than just the physical work that needs to be put into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think the things that at least my mom and dad taught me, you know, on especially taking a job is, you know, you have your name is everything and leave it with the best example, you know, so it just sounds like there's just basic things that you should be doing at any job and caring for your reputation. And it's just giving that right 2 week notice and, hey, this is what you need. What can I help you with? So it didn't sound like she went into that. And I think what hurts even more, Evan, this isn't like someone at our job that's a processing order. Now, orders might delay shipment, but it's not hurting a human. So I think what's important, and especially in the caregiver community, is that people are really thinking about their reputation, because you carry that with you. And at the end of the day, you also impact the human that you're taking care of in a positive way rather than leaving the family and this person, you know, upset. Because, you know, it sounds like basic knowledge that we all do when you leave a job, give a notice and be there and do everything you can in that 2 weeks, but you didn't even get that.
Yeah. And look, another point that I'd like to make is caretakers deserve more money. I wish that we had $1 bazillion and we could pay them more money. I really do. In this particular case, we weren't paying this person out of our pocket. This person was being paid by another entity. And I wish that that entity was able to pay this caretaker more money because she was excellent, is excellent at her job. And that's part of the reason I'm so sad, right? Because once you find somebody who bonds so well with your daughter, with your kid, and you see how productive they are together and the progress that they're making and how comfortable with they are together. It's just like, it's the most amazing thing. It's great. It's unbelievable. And then to see that ending, it hurts. So I understand that's impacting my feelings and all this. I'm so grateful for the time that we had, but I wish that there was more money here so that this whole situation didn't have to happen. You know, and I live in the state of California and, you know, I wish there was, I don't know. I wish there was a way to get these people paid more money.
Sometimes, and I would agree with you. I think there's a massive pay gap for educators, caregivers, things like that. But I also know sometimes money's not always the answer. Sometimes, you know, the money is a piece, but there's other circumstances. But at the end of the day, I think what's to me stands out the most, and this isn't directed at them, but I think there's a level of respect. And I think there's a values alignment or misalignment, because if somebody, whether even if the issue is money, like you still need to be able to go and say, hey, I'm leaving. I've been taking care of your kid. I want to pass all of this knowledge on to the next person so they can provide the same or better level of care, because you're right. They're not a gig. Yep. They're a person. And I, putting myself in your shoes, I would feel exactly the same way or crazier. And we've had interesting situations with my daughter, and it was crazy. We had to deal with the school district. But the point is, there needs to be like, There's got to be, it's a human. It's not, it's not a documented process to move one box from one side of a warehouse to another. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like there's,
it's not a training video either. It's you got to spend the time and get to know her and understand her. It's personal. That's exactly right.
Well, Evan, you're talking personal. You wrote something, you know, it sounds like you've been doing a lot of thinking, like maybe what could I have done better? What could I have done? Is there anything that you think you could have done within this relationship, or you think she would have done this, just as you're going through your process of healing, that like, dang it, I wish I did this, or I asked this, or anything there?
So one of the things that I wish I would have done is I should have gone to the place where Sydney was being cared for, and just, I should have cleared my schedule for a couple of days. I should have gone with Sydney, and I should have, I feel like this, I don't know if this is the right answer or not, but for me, and maybe I should have gone and tried to work with the new team. And I understand that there are people who are trying to train them up, but maybe having me there with Sydney and kind of helping them understand the process would have been more helpful. Maybe I should still do that. So I'm thinking that, but you know, the other part is, you know, we have jobs and responsibilities that we have to do also. And so, maybe that's something that I could have done better. When that person, once we learned that person left, to try to help the new team, I should have cleared my schedule and gone and been more involved in the transition.
When we switched schools, and I think every school, my wife went for the first week and kind of got them familiar with Rosie. You know, she's in a position to be able to do that, but it was helpful for their teachers and the people that she was working with. But then, you know, to this topic, after a while, when it's time to switch, the teachers and the caregivers were able to transfer that knowledge over to the new incoming.
Yeah.
It's interesting in your situation. How do you do it? What do you do with the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think for us, as we close out this show, I think what's really important, we know caregivers are important. I look at this as they're purpose-driven people. 100%. They're taking care of it.
They are.
I'm going to go right to you, Evan, because you got the emotion. What could you say directly to people that are considering to be caregivers, and what would you want to say to them so that they can continue to provide the best service for their customers or client and what we're seeing? So love to hear that.
So first off, thank you is what I would say. The first thing that I would say, because what you're doing is hard. It's a really hard job. And I understand that because I'm doing it with my daughter. I understand what it takes to be a successful and meaningful caregiver. I understand that. So thank you. I appreciate you so much. What I would say is, I understand that you're a human being and that there are things out there that happen in your life. I think communication is so important because you want to make sure that the person that you are trying to care for isn't affected by, they have a hard enough life. Sydney's life is hard enough. Every single day, she wakes up, you know, I carry her out of bed, we get her dressed, brush her teeth, we send her to school. You know, she's got to use her computer to communicate. She has physical therapy. She's got a lot of stuff going on. Plus, you know, the limitations with her body and the medicines. It's like her life is very difficult and complicated. She still has an amazing attitude. So what I would say to the caregivers is like, our job is to help that person get through the day in as smooth a way as possible. We're not adding more to their plate. We're trying to take things off their plate so that they can just enjoy being a kid, enjoy being a person, and enjoy the life. And so keep that in mind. And that if there are things that come up, which will absolutely come up, communicating is key. Let me know, let my wife know, let our team know, so that we can do things on our end to help make transitions better. To help if they're, you know, you got to take a vacation, you got something going on in your family, whatever, totally fine. But letting us know so that we can come up with a plan together, I think is the most effective way to kind of care as a group. And that's what I would try to impress on people who are getting into this field or who are in the field looking to improve.
And it sounds like it's really important that even though you have an employer, you have a relationship and with the family and the client that they're serving, and just not treating it like a job and realizing, hey, your employer is one, but maybe communicating and talking about whatever is going on and potentially changing so that the family can be prepared. So I think there's those things that it just sounds like it's more than a job, because you don't, you know, at our place, we find out someone and no one knew about it and they're giving us a notice. So I just think, how do we treat the families with a little bit more than, they're not your employers, they're like that relationship. Yeah. And just giving that intimacy, because they're already doing a lot of intimate stuff for your family, and it's just treating them that they're not your employer and looking out for them, it sounds like is an important part of the communication.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I know this has been a therapeutic exercise for me as much as it was a good discussion that hopefully you learned something here as well. So thank you. And if you would like to continue to support our show, please do. We really appreciate our audience, the way you guys have been supporting us, the comments, the shares. They mean so much to us. And we're going to continue to grow so we can build this community and keep helping people, because that's the goal of this show. So thank you for watching another episode of Driven by Purpose. Remember to like, subscribe, share, send it your friends, comment, all that good stuff. You can find us on all the social media platforms. You can see us on YouTube, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you.
Peace.